Pleased to be up here in Minot this afternoon to kick off this second public input meeting. I think that we'll first of all go around to all the locations. Everyone can kind of do a roll call, and then we'll come back to the commissioners for opening comments. So we'll start here in Minot with the rest of the folks on around the table here.
Randy Christman, Public Service Commissioner.
Don Trublet, Xcel Energy, Minot.
Kathy Oz, Xcel Energy, Minot.
Then we'll head to Bismarck, please.
Okay, thank you, Julie. It's myself, Ryan Norrell, our new attorney. You can see Randy and Julie. He's here today. We're joined with Sarah and Mike,
Ryan,
at the table. Steve is running the mics, and I see Daryl and Jerry in the back, and we're joined by Carly today from Utility Shareholders that's representing yourself today. She's just listening, so we're all dialed in here, but we have no members of the public here.
Excellent. How about Fargo?
Dave Cedarquist with Xcel Energy.
Terry Thorstenson, Account Manager.
Zev Simpson, Briggs & Morgan Legal.
Corey Kinley, Area Engineer.
Excellent. And then over to Grand Forks, please.
Mark Nesbitt, North Dakota.
Brad Siliasid, Operations, North Dakota.
Judy Poppert, Xcel Energy, Grand Forks.
Jim Thorson, Xcel Energy, Grand Forks.
Excellent. Okay, well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer to you, since you have the experience here, with no members of the public. How would you like to proceed? Or how do you recommend we proceed?
Well, I think everyone here, most everyone got the presentation last night, but you know, I guess quite honestly, I wouldn't see a downside if Dave just ran through the presentation very quickly. It only takes about 5-6 minutes, and if at the end of that time no one shows up, I think we're done. But at least we go through the presentation so we can say we delivered it. If it was a 40-minute presentation, I'd say maybe not, but it seemed to go pretty quick.
Okay, I have no problems with that. Then I would just set the stage here. Obviously, we all know this, but the Public Service Commission received the application for a rate increase in December from Xcel Energy. We approved interim rates of 9.25%, I believe, or 9.6% in February, and are now in the second of two public input hearings to gather input from the public in terms of what their concerns might be. We're all interested in having high-quality, reliable electric service at an affordable rate for customers, and that would be kind of the setting the stage from my perspective. If Brian and Randy have any extra thoughts they'd like to add, please feel free. Randy?
Well, I would just add, for anybody who might be listening over the internet that was unable to come to the meetings but is concerned as a recipient of Xcel services, I think all the commissioners are fully united in doing the very best we can to make sure that rates stay as low as possible for North Dakota consumers. But in that same light, I think we also share the recognition that costs keep going up, and we want our service providers to have the resources that they need in order to bring the best possible service, to make sure it stays on just as much as possible, and to make sure that the service is delivered as safely as possible. And so we have to try and blend those two goals, and that's the purpose of the long process that we're undertaking here. And I think that's what you're going to see from this commission is the goal to blend those two needs.
Excellent. Brian, anything to add?
Well, thank you, Julie. Just, echo both you and Randy have said, just thank the company for coming out. And Randy pointed out, too, we could have folks listening over the internet or watching on the web, so I think it is worthwhile to go through it. And just for my colleagues in the company as well, is that I'd been waiting for these public input sessions to actually submit a formal questions for me to Xcel Energy of things that I'll be looking at in the rate case. You know, not in addition to what you've already filed, but there's some key questions I'll have on, return on equity and things like that. So I was waiting for these meetings to see if any other questions came up before I submitted the letter. like late next week, you'll see something from me laying some key concerns that I have with the rate case. So you can have time to prepare for those before we get into the August hearing. So just thank the company for the work and look forward to the presentation.
Excellent. Okay, then we'll turn it over to Dave Cedarquist in Fargo for the presentation.
Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk, and thank you, Commissioner Kalk, too, for that heads up on the questions. Greetings, Commissioner Chrisman. We appreciate the opportunity to once again provide some comments. We were chatting with our video technician here a few minutes before the meeting started, and he was saying such good things about our service, we were wondering if we could adopt him as a customer in this meeting. Well, as North Dakota's largest electric utility, we serve about 90,000 customers in and around the cities of Fargo, West Fargo, Grand Forks, and Minot. We take very seriously our role to provide safe and reliable, low-cost power to these cities and power the economic development and the robust economy in the state of North Dakota. And as a company, we work hard to be involved and supportive of the communities that we serve. Advances in electronic equipment and increasing automation and more sophisticated appliances have really changed the way customers view their electric service. And even with advances in energy efficiency, customers are relying on electricity in more ways now than ever before. Along with that, environmental concerns and new technologies with renewable energy and greater access to supplies of natural gas have changed how we produce electricity today. So the industry continues to change, and Xcel Energy is in the process of making some very sizable investments to modernize and reconfigure our power system so that we can meet the higher expectations of our customers and comply with the increasing number of regulations. I'd like to take just a minute, if I could, to be a little more specific about the application that we have or that we filed with the commission in December. The case is based on financial projections, which show that for the year 2013, our revenues will be about $16.9 million short of what is needed to cover the cost to provide electric service in the state of North Dakota. The resulting rate increase request is a 9.25% overall increase for customers, and that equates to about a $7 or $8 a month increase for a typical residential customer. And by state law, the company is allowed to collect most of the requested amount while the case is being reviewed. So in February, a $14.7 million increase went into effect. It's in effect today, and it will remain so until final rates are approved and implemented. Now, this interim amount that we are collecting is subject to refund if the commission's final rate order is for an amount that's less than the interim level. The commission will hold hearings later in August to compile and review the evidence in the case. Now, when we ask the question, what's causing the revenue shortfall that we see here and the need for higher rates, we can respond fairly simply by saying that the significant investments that we are making to ensure that we can continue to supply power, the power that our customers need, and maintain a strong electric transmission and distribution grid in four of the state's largest cities. In particular, we're preparing our three nuclear power plant units that are located in Monticello and Red Wing, Minnesota, to not only be able to provide around-the-clock and emissions-free power for an additional 20 years, they've already been in operation 40 years, but also to increase their output capacity by about 5% or 90 megawatts. In addition, we're expanding and modernizing our delivery infrastructure. These are the towers and poles, wires, transformers, and switches that we use to move power across the grid and ultimately to homes and businesses in North Dakota. From 2011 through this year, we are investing about $11 million to increase the capacity of our substations in the state and to improve reliability. You should know that as we make these investments, we do so with an eye toward being as cost-effective as we can. And over the years, we've taken some significant steps to control costs. In 2000, we merged the NSP system with two utilities headquartered in Colorado and Texas to form Xcel Energy. And we did this to consolidate corporate costs and other fixed costs to share best practices among the utilities and improve our own operating procedures and enhance our purchasing power for things like fuel and construction materials and supplies. We are very proud of the relationship that we've developed with our distribution supplier, Border States Electric, headquartered here in Fargo, to lower the cost of construction materials throughout Xcel Energy's 8-state service territory. Over the years, we've also developed a very diverse energy supply portfolio, which, as I said last night, we wouldn't trade it with any other utility. Our energy comes from a very remarkable mix of coal, nuclear, wind, hydro, biomass, and natural gas resources. And this diversity really helps to mitigate supply risk, price risk, and it really prepares us well to comply with future environmental regulations, which we see on the horizon. Over the past 25 years, we've led the nation in efforts to curb customers' on-peak electric use and to help them conserve energy. And that has actually resulted in the avoidance of 10 mid-sized power plants, which has also saved billions of dollars. And while these efforts are impressive, it's the day-to-day performance of our North Dakota employees that really would contribute the most to the value that we offer with our electric service. They're hardworking, innovative, and they're very involved in the community. And I'm also proud to say that they work safely and efficiently, particularly when storms and ice and floods wreak havoc on our infrastructure. This is certainly part of the reason why our distribution system in North Dakota is the most reliable system within all of NSP. North Dakota, a North Dakota customer is without power less than 76 minutes each year on average. So while we build on this kind of performance by upgrading our systems, we're keenly aware of our need to keep our rates competitive for the economic health of our service area and the state overall. We fully understand that we do play a key role in helping North Dakota businesses to compete regionally and globally. And we do understand that our energy costs are an important part of the household budget as well. Each bar on this chart represents the average residential electric rate in each of our 50 states. And the green bar to the left is North Dakota, and its average rate is the third lowest in the country. The red bar next to it reflects Xcel Energy's average residential rate here in the state, and you can see that we stack up very well comparatively. If we take a closer look at overall rates right here in North Dakota, this chart shows the average rates for each utility. That includes municipals, cooperatives, and investor-owned utilities. And again, Xcel Energy is in the red there, red bar, and in spite of all the investments that we have been making and continue to make to prepare ourselves for a challenging future here, we're still holding our own in one of the lowest cost states in the country. In the handouts that are available at each location, there is a chart in there that shows our rate history in North Dakota, and it shows that while our rates have moved upward in recent years, if you take a look over the long term, in this case 20 years, you can see that we've been able to hold our increases below that average rate of inflation. And even if you include the request that we have before the commission, we still stay below that inflation line. So we're proud of that, and you won't find that kind of price performance in your food prices or your housing costs or medical or education costs. And really, the bottom line is that the decision to file a rate application like we have here is never taken lightly by the company. But ensuring that our rates match up with the level of investment we're making and our cost is very important to being able to secure the affordable financing for the large investments that I've been talking about. And certainly, getting to a constructive outcome in this case will help to temper the frequency and size of future increases. If you think about it, we've been providing electricity in North Dakota for over 100 years, literally. And in providing good service and remaining in compliance with the various federal and state regulations, it's perhaps never been more difficult to keep rates competitive than it is today. But as we have for the past century, we commit to our customers in North Dakota that we will continue to meet your energy needs in the most cost-effective way that we can. So again, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to provide those comments again today. And if there are any questions, we'd be more than happy to take them at this time.
Dave, I'll just ask one quick question. On the slide where you talk about the avoided power plants construction, can you tell me a little bit more about that and how you guys calculate that figure or that quantity?
We have programs in place throughout our service territory, including North Dakota. Peak reduction rates, for example, we have a program called the Saver Switch program, which allows us to cycle residential and business air conditioners and water heaters during peak periods so that we can manage those peak energy use periods. We have a large portfolio of demand-side management and conservation incentives, if you will, in Minnesota in particular. All those programs help to reduce energy use and therefore allow us to forego the building of additional power plants. I'm not familiar with exactly how we calculate those savings, but we do have fairly sophisticated methods for calculating the peak reductions, the conservation, the kilowatt hours that are conserved by these programs. Those methodologies are scrutinized, I know for a fact, very heavily in the state of Minnesota, where many of them are designed. We have a few programs in here in North Dakota. We don't have as an elaborate portfolio in this state as we have in some of the other states, however.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have one. Dave, your slide that showed the minutes of interrupted residential service,
yes,
showed North Dakota and South Dakota kind of at one level and then Minnesota and Wisconsin significantly higher. Is there one or two primary factors that cause that difference?
Yes, there are, and I'll invite Brad and Corey to step into if they have more information on it. Obviously, geography plays a role. The profile of the areas that we serve in North Dakota, we serve primarily urban areas in the state of North Dakota. That's different than for example, Wisconsin and even Minnesota, where we do serve other smaller communities. There's a lot more vegetation, things of that nature. So there are some issues around that. I will maintain, however, that I really think we have very effective crews in the state of North Dakota. They do really a good job, take a lot of pride. They work very safely. I know historically we've led the company in work safety. I think all that kind of helps to develop a culture of productivity and good work. And so there are many other reasons. And again, Brad, Corey, if you've got any other thoughts on that? Or Mark?
No, I was just asking. We'll turn on that. Brad will go ahead, if you will.
This is Brad Silius. I'm the operations manager. I've got responsibility for the state of North Dakota. I think, Dave, you're correct. I think without having the numbers sitting in front of me, obviously from a Minnesota perspective, geography and just the vast, the amount of system that you have in Minnesota far outweighs what you have in North Dakota. So there's several different factors, along with, obviously, vegetation management tends to be one of our high bars when you talk about outages across our systems. Obviously, we have a lot more veg management to manage in the state of Minnesota. Not that we don't have trees in North Dakota, because we certainly do, But you certainly have the geography to deal with in Minnesota with the number. So I would say that that probably contributes more than anything.
Just to expand on that too, now in 2012, largely as a result of discussions we've had with the commission in our last case, we are spending proportionately more money even on veg management to improve reliability and even more. So that has started to now impact some of these statistics as well. And we look forward to the IntelliTeam technology that has been installed in the Fargo area to further improve these reliability results.
So not only does our prairies allow beautiful unobstructed views, it also creates more reliable power. Less
guess
down
you could
trees.
Say that.
And one more, if I may.
Okay.
The graph in this handout shows several states and the U.S. average of residential and industrial rates, but Wisconsin isn't on there. How does Wisconsin's residential rates compare with the locals, this area states that are on this graph?
Excuse me, Commissioner, I'm going to pull out that chart, just make sure I'm looking at the same thing here. And are you talking industrial?
Well, I was talking residential, but either one.
Yeah, residential rates in Wisconsin are slightly higher than they are in Minnesota.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hey, Julie, I might just have one from Bismarck, just a clarification. The when do we true up the alternate or the estimated amounts on money? It started off at $16.9 million. When does that get trued up to what you projected to what the number is? Or is that the number we go with no matter what?
Certainly the case, the request, the $16.9 million, as we go through this discovery process, Commissioner, and we start seeing the testimony and the positions of the staff and their analysis, that number will be subject to discussion and potential change. I don't think we're far enough along the process yet to know what all the issues are that will come out of that discovery process, but yeah, there could be very well be some adjustments going forward before the hearing in August.
I wasn't talking so much about the back and forth between the staff and you and us, just so the company's number you guys filed, you don't go back and look at that at all if something that you predicted would those costs from your viewpoint are solid.
No, there could be significant items that would prompt an adjustment. For example, in our last case, there was a wind project that was canceled, and we filed an amendment to that. In this case, nothing of significance has come forth at this point yet, or at least would require us to file an adjustment before we've seen how the staff and their consultants weigh in on some of these issues.
Okay, thanks.
But certainly that's possible.
It was that wind farm dropping out, and I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but I remember there was a big amendment that we worked through, so okay. And the last one, Dave, is just for you and Mark. I'm on my way to Fargo as soon as we're done here. Are you guys around today about 4? I could swing by and we could do a quick flood update discussion.
Mark, what's your schedule? I'm here.
Dave would be in Fargo, but I am in Grand Forks. We had what we call a trade ally meeting this morning. We met with contractors, builders, heating dealers, and we gave them many of the same slides that you're seeing. So we did visit with those people we're in contact with. We had a Gary Smested from the design area. That's why Brad is in town. But I'm going to roll on to Minot from here, and we'll be having that meeting tomorrow. So I'm sorry that I would miss you unless I'll be in Bismarck on Wednesday after the meeting in Minot. I'm going to stop by, and Carly invited us to the the bill signing with the governor on the one call, so I would be in Bismarck on Wednesday.
Okay.
I might ask if Brad's will be back in Fargo late afternoon.
Yes, Dave, I will be back. Commissioner Kalk, I'd be more than happy to meet with you this afternoon if you wish.
Not to do waste everybody's time planning, but I'll swing by about 4, so thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think Brad has been doing a really nice job with our operational efforts. I just showed him that the city of Fargo will start their public meetings on Friday morning where they'll bring in the media. I'm assuming that means that we're going to get more of a deterministic forecast from the weather service today. So, yeah, all that snow was not a good thing is what I would say.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, many thanks to the company for your support, your coming out and taking the time to present this to us and to the public. For those who might be listening online, hopefully this was helpful, and we look forward to the next step in this process.
One comment.
Oh, Randy.
I also want to thank the company, even though we didn't have a big turnout of consumers. I'm guessing some are listening. It's important as a commissioner to me to see your willingness to get the message out to your customers. So I think that's important. I also want to say welcome to Ryan Norell, to the Public Service Commission team. I've been looking forward to having you on board and working with you.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Kind of some mood, like